Thank you, Joel and Jen. Thank you, Ben and worship team and Robert. Sorry that you have to be seen and heard. Robert likes to be heard, not seen. But there's no plant over there to block the view. But, huh? You can set up a curtain, huh? Talk with John about that, I guess. We, the other week, just a couple of weeks ago, I was driving home with my daughter, no, oldest daughter, Rachel. She works near Ala Moana, and I picked her up after work, and we're driving home, and I said, you know, I always say, so how was your day today? And she'll tell me how her day is. And then she said, you know, I had a frustrating conversation with somebody because this person is trying to just be happy. And then my daughter said, you know, you cannot be happy by just being happy. And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds like you remembered some of the things I was telling you, right? And she says, you know, you got to achieve happiness by, it, not directly, but indirectly. And you have to do the things that lead to happiness, but you can't just pursue happiness directly. And so, I thought, this is a great conversation. So, of course, I affirmed what she was saying, and I thought, you know, that's right. It's kind of an indirect thing, right, that you have to pursue. And life is full of these kinds of things, indirect type of pursuits. I remember when I was in sales for many, many years, in different kinds of sales, the goal of a course of a sale, or if you're selling something, you need to make a profit. So you're providing that's not maybe the goal, but what you want to do is forward your product. And then what you want to do, however, to be successful in selling your product is you have to provide a value, not for yourself, but for the other person. You have to provide a value for that person, and when you provide a value for that person, then you can have a profit as well. So that's an indirect thing. And your marriage is kind of like that too. Marriage, you kind of get together in marriage, and you have two people who bring two different points of view, and both are trying to achieve their own objective, usually in a very direct way. Somebody who wants to be usually guys, right, want to be controlling, and you try to be controlling, try to be the boss by controlling, and realizing you go to marriage seminars and things, what you have to do is you have to kind of back off and allow your wife to give you that permission, because your wife is not going to be secure in you if you're just trying to dominate her. And so it's kind of an indirect thing. You provide leadership for the home by backing off rather than being a lord. And there are lots of different kinds of examples like this. And we find that not just Jesus' teachings, but life itself is kind of like that. As we go into our lesson today on the next section of Scripture, as we're going through the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 12, we find that Jesus' message today is very, very much like that. In fact, it's such a simple message that sometimes we get caught up in all the stories and we miss the point that Jesus is trying to make. So what I'd like to do today is go over a section of Scripture that's really kind of familiar to us, but instead of emphasizing all the little details of the Scripture, I want to get into what the point is. And we're going to find that what Jesus wants us to do is to never settle for less. And what he means by that is everything in this world, if we settle for this as the highest level that we can attain, that's settling for less. What he wants us to do is make this not the first thing, make God's kingdom the first thing. And when you do that, then you achieve all the things, other things that you want as a byproduct of pursuing God's kingdoms. So when earth's values are your highest values, you're settling for less. If your highest values is in this world success or making money or having all the best relationships, then that's the highest value, as good as those might be, you're settling for less. So let's see what Jesus says about never settling for less. Let's pray. Father, we have a lot to learn in these kinds of things. Surely, as you look on humanity and you observe our ways, you shake your head, so to speak, and you realize how much we have to learn. And how your thoughts are different from our thoughts, but you want to bring us along on how you think about things. So, Lord, we need your encouragement. We need your supernatural endowment in speaking to us today to have these words of Jesus be more than just instructions, but rather a change in our very perspective and paradigm and our value system. So, God, help us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking in the book of Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be going from verse 4 to 34. Now, that's a big chunk of scripture, so we're not going to read that whole thing through. But again, most of these stories that Jesus is going to talk about are quite familiar. So I'm not going to review all of these things, but I want to highlight a couple of things right at the start of this section, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. Jesus lets us know who he's talking to. And what he considers on his heart is his audience. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And I'm going to read that for you. He says, now, this is Jesus speaking now. He's talking to the crowds of people. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Before we try to stop and emphasize on those who kill the body and things like that, I want to emphasize who Jesus is talking to and what he calls them. He says, I tell you, my friends. You have a sense that Jesus is here not to be a Lord over us and a God over us, although that's all the things he is. He's here to lift us up into friendship relationship with him. Isn't that an amazing thought? That Jesus calls us his friends. And toward the end of this whole thing, Luke chapter 12, verse 32, verse 32 says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. He is a shepherd that wants to gather his people under his wing and say, I want to be your shepherd, and you are my little flock. You are my flock of sheep. You get that relationship that Jesus is trying to communicate to us. He doesn't just come and give us these commands or these instructions or these great insights. He says, my friends, my little flock. Underneath all of this is his desire to encourage us, to provide us God's kind of security, a kind of security that only God can provide, because in doing so, enables us to actually carry out the things that he's going to talk about. When we are pursuing friendship with God, when we are pursuing being God's part of God's flock, that's the beginning of never settling for less. Because then we begin pursuing the things that are truly high and noble and elevated. If you have your program, you'll find an outline in there with some blanks in it. And I'd like us to track together, and as we never settle for less, the first thing that Jesus says is we should never settle for less in our self-worth. If you see number one over there, can you write self-worth in there? God wants to let us know that we have intrinsic value to him. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Jesus says, I tell you, I'm sorry. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God creates us in his image. He puts his stamp of his image. And yes, it is kind of distorted. In fact, very much distorted because of sin. But God's image continues to be in you. And that's the story of the New Testament, that how precious you are to God. You know, sometimes you might need to choose between the security that God provides, God our shepherd provides, versus the security of the world. But C.S. Lewis observed this, and this is in your notes page. He says, put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. We never get, say, even the sensual pleasure of food at its best when we are being greedy. Put first things first. When you put first things first, when you put God first, you get all the things that God has for you. But if you put things that are non-God first, then you diminish God and you diminish the very things that God wants to give you. And when we put ourselves and our self-worth and our self-preservation as first, it lowers God's worth and it actually lowers our worth. When we're trying to put ourselves first, it's kind of like going to the customer and says, hey, I want to sell you something to make my money. You're not providing any value for that person. Put God first and he will lift you up. So how can we not settle for less in our self-worth? Well, again, like other things, we do it indirectly. We do it indirectly. And we do that by acknowledging Jesus before people. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 says, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. So here he's talking about people who want to threaten you and say you need to deny Jesus for whatever reason it might be. If you want to work here, or if you want to be a part of my associations, then you have to deny Jesus. Jesus says, don't worry about that. He says, choose to acknowledge me. When you acknowledge me, guess what happens to your self-worth? Your self-worth actually goes up. Now, here's the struggle. When we are tempted to acknowledge the world and not acknowledge Jesus, we're saying, if I acknowledge the world, then my self-worth will go up. If I acknowledge that I need to strive for money, or I need to place my bets with this sports team and get into all of that, I need to have carousing drunken parties with my buddies, and that will increase my self-worth in the eyes of the world. That's what typically we think. But really, you're being diminished because you're serving an idol. An idol that can never satisfy you. But you put God first, and everything rises up. So declare your worth in Jesus, and acknowledge Jesus before people, and you will see your self-worth increase. Never settle for less, number two, in finances. Number two, never settle for less in finances. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. 13 through 21, there's this whole section. So there's this man who in the middle of Jesus' talk says, Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, man, who made me arbiter over you? I'm not the judge of this civil judge who's going to decide how you split your inheritance here. And there is, if you look in your bulletin program, you probably heard that the quote, when there's a will, there's a way. You heard about that? When there's a will, there's a way. Have you heard this one? When there's no will, there's lots of relatives. You guys get it? When there's no will, A will is a directive of where your property is going to go when you die. And if you don't have that directive saying, okay, so-and-so is going to get my guitar, so-and-so is going to get my coffee table, and things like that. If you don't have that, then all of a sudden you have lots of relatives. Everybody wants to be related to you because everybody wants a piece of the action, a piece of that pie, see? So this man is saying, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus looks right through that request, and he sees something underneath. Now, take a look at this. Now, we really don't know anything about the circumstances this man is going through. Was he cheated by his brother? Was he disinherited by his father? Was he desperately poor? Was he filthy rich but just wanted more? None of that really matters. We really don't know anything about this man, but we do know that he was tempted to get part of that property that is of the inheritance. And we see, Jesus looks right through that and says, he sees greed and he sees covetousness. And he says, watch out for all kinds of greed. And then he tells a story. He tells a story about a rich man. He says, there was this rich man who, he was really rich and he had all kinds of barns and stored up grain and he had plenty already, but it wasn't enough. And so he says, what am I going to do? What a bummer. Man, I'm rich, but just not enough. I'm so stuck. He says, I got a good idea. I'll make my barns bigger and I can store it up for me. And then I'll tell my soul, relax, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. You've heard that term before? That's from this story right here. This rich man, he wanted to be richer. And he says, then I can take it easy. And Jesus saw right through to his heart, and he saw that what he really wanted was, what he was happening is greed. He was settling for less than what is good, than what God wanted, because the top level of his goal was in this world, everything in this world. How can we not settle for less in our finances? Again, indirectly. Luke 12:21, toward the end of this story, Jesus says, Luke 12:21, he says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. There's one part of the story I forgot to say. As the rich man was celebrating his good idea of storing up wealth for himself, God said, you fool, this day your life will be demanded of you. Then who's going to get all your inheritance? And so this is where Jesus says, this is how it's going to be for those who store up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So what's the solution in not settling for less in our finances? Luke 12:21, Jesus is saying, be generous toward God. Be generous toward God. Someone recently asked me where the church offerings go, and probably maybe you have that question. We do have a budget that comes out, so most of you have been around a while and know exactly where the offerings go. But just to make clear, offerings do not go straight to God. It's not like you get a $20 bill and say, okay, here, God, and God kind of gets his hand out of heaven. Thanks, Dan, that was a real great offering. It doesn't happen that way. Really, when we give to God, we give to God's purposes. We give to God's work. We give to God's programs in the world. We can give money, we can give goods, we can give our service. And we give that way, we are generous to God. So never settle for less in your finances, and you can do that by being generous toward God. Thirdly, never settle for less in your needs. Now, we all have needs. Every one of us has needs. The problem does not lie in our needs or lack of needs. The problem lies in our excessive preoccupation with our needs. Jesus is saying that when you give only to yourself, you're actually settling for less in your needs. When you give, listen to this, when you give only to yourself, you're settling for less. You're afraid to give to somebody else because, man, that little bit I could have given, I could have invested that and given more for myself. Jesus is saying that is the way to get less for yourself. So in your Bibles, your various Bibles, the NIV uses the word worry. Do not worry about this, all these things, what you're going to eat, drink, your life, all of these things. He says the pagan world runs after these things. Some of your Bible says, take no thought toward this. Do not be anxious. Now, if your Bible says take no thought, then it doesn't mean don't even think about it. It means that it has a connotation that says don't fret over it. Don't be fretting over it. And so it's a excessive preoccupation with very real needs. And he's saying, don't let these things overshadow God's abundance and his presence. Luke 12:30, Jesus describes the person who is completely preoccupied with the things of this world. He says that for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So we find that if we seek only the things in this world, and that's our ceiling, we're settling for less. God says, don't settle for less. How do we do this? How do we not settle for less in our needs? Luke 12:33. Luke 12:33 says, let's back up to verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God has this kingdom ready for you. And so he says in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where that no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The solution to not settling for less in your needs is to give to the poor. This is very, very important. Give to the poor part is very important. And why? If you give something to somebody who's rich, they might give back to you. And then it becomes a means to an end, which is more money in this kingdom. Now, he's not saying don't give to those who might be wealthy. But he's saying give to the poor because they're not going to pay you back. You will not get paid back this side of heaven. The solution to not settling for less for your needs is to give to the poor. Now, as we look at all of these things, we just see three things that are really clear, but sometimes they're just embedded in the narrative here. Acknowledge Jesus Christ, and your self-worth goes up. Give to God, and your finances will be better than anything else in this world. When you give to the poor, you will have God meeting your need now and forever. I'd like to ask the band to come up as we prepare for our closing song. So we see these three things. We find that the giving and the investment in heaven really creates a situation that is theft-proof, it is wear-out-proof, it is exhaust-proof. A lot of people, when they talk about retirement, worry that their finances are going to run out. When you give to God, you will never run out, and it will never decay. acknowledge Jesus before people and your self-worth will never settle for less. Give to God and you'll never be settling for less in your finances. Give to the poor and you'll never settle for less in your needs. Father, the messages here are very, very simple. I pray that if we have any struggle about these things, Lord, that you would cause us to simply obey you in a very simple way. We could sit on our couch forever and wait for our heart to change so that we're following our heart. But you say, just go ahead and do these things, and our heart will follow. Remind us, Lord, that it's all because Jesus wants us to be his friend. Oh, what a great calling that is. Beckon to our hearts, oh God, that you want us to be your friend. And let us declare that now, God, that as we follow you, we are a friend of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.